All right. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection, the show with all the splendor and glamour of the nighttime Emmys with all the awkwardness of the daytime Emmys. And joining us tonight, we have the Susan Lucia of the wrestling world, Nikki Haman. Then we have the Doug Davidson of wrestling panel shows. We have VRM.
With 3 hours of sleep at night and 3 hours during the day.
Well, well, well.
And unfortunately, we have the Thad Penglis of the wrestling talk group, Will Gertner Arnett.
Arvin.
And
Will, we got to get that background fixed.
You think, yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Hold on.
And we have referee Sean Matthews. Ladies and gentlemen, our panelists.
Tough crowd.
There was supposed to be an audience applause, but it timed out. Oh, well.
Maybe Rob Conway got to it.
Right. So let's kick this show off the run. We have to horse something out because Nikki is going to be appearing at a wrestling show on Sunday.
I'm not the one appearing. Sean is.
Aren't you going to be in the audience?
I'll be in the crowd, but
yeah, that's
Sean
what I mean.
Might be. You're talking about the TNA House show at the Cincinnati Garden.
That's right.
Sean's in there. Sean's in this mess somewhere. Sean, you want to brag or you want to wait?
Let him brag.
Where'd he go?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, well. If he comes back, I'll let him brag.
Caller, hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello, who's this?
This is Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, I just called in. I was wondering what you guys thought of the way WWE uses their Intercontinental and U.S. titles.
Same question every time, Terry.
They, never defend them.
Well, Jericho said he was, and that made it to Botchamania.
Yeah,
see, Matthew?
I mean, don't you think they should use them for, development?
They should. Doesn't mean they're going to.
I could seriously say that the non-use of the U.S. title and the Intercontinental title needs to be
mm-hmm.
fixed where the 30-day policy would be in effect.
They don't need to not add another title. They just added the women's title on SmackDown. Can't even take care of their own titles they got now, then why they need to add more?
That has got to be a
good
joke.
Point.
Did you hear me?
You guys mind if I just hang around here?
Yeah,
please.
I'm
stick
on
around.
Here.
My thought was that it sounded like that Jericho really wanted to actually start defending his Intercontinental title on a regular basis, but apparently somebody in creative changed their minds about that. Matt Hardy's kind of in limbo since his only good feud was with MVP while they were trading the title. I think this is all going to get fixed next week.
Oh, hold on, there's something on my phone. I'll call right back in.
Okay. All right.
All right, take care, Matt.
He's billed as the fightingest U.S. champion.
All right, so who's all here?
Fourth's here, so I don't know about anyone else.
I'm here.
Yeah. VRM's here.
Nikki, VRM, Will Arnett.
Arvin.
And Shane.
What?
Sean.
Four.
Sean.
But I haven't heard Sean yet.
I'm on here.
I know you're here, Will.
And Matt just popped back in. Let's talk about the upcoming TNA House show in Cincinnati at the Cincinnati Gardens. The superstars of Total Nonsense Match Wrestling will bring TNA live to Cincinnati for an unforgettable night of action at the Cincinnati Gardens on Sunday, June 22nd at 7:30 p.m. Appearing live and in person will be Kurt Angle, Booker T, the phenomenal AJ Styles, Scott Steiner, Petey Williams, The Rock, and Rave Infection, Curryman, Kaz, Cowboy James, Star America, and Consequences Creed, Black Ring. What?
Whoa. You still around?
Creed? Black, yeah. He finally finished school.
I'm not.
No.
Not Creed. Rain.
Black Rain.
Yeah, he's. I'm not surprised that, you know, he's still around.
Dustin Rhodes is going to make his return back at Cincinnati.
Is Reebodge going to be with him?
You know that's killer. You know that's killer spelled backwards.
Nah, you're lying.
No. Shark also appearing, Shark Boy, Angelina Love, Velvet Sky, The Guru, Sanjay Dutt, Rex Lavo, and many, many more.
Give me a chill, yeah.
Everybody except Sting.
Exactly.
But that's all right. I've already recruited him.
Listen to this. The card got posted. Here's the actual card.
All
right. I think you might be interested on this.
I'm listening.
Tracy Brooks and Roxy Laveau versus the Beautiful People.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Curry Man versus Tashi Ishikari.
Oh, one of the Team Japan guys.
Yep.
Japan.
Actually, we're getting more of those people in here. Super Eric and Shark Boy versus Bobby Roode and James Storm.
Cool.
Triple Threat match: Petey Williams versus Taz versus Consequences Creed.
Ooh,
that could be
interesting.
Is that
AJ Styles versus Kip James.
As long as Kip stays out of Tori Wilson's wardrobe.
I doubt it. Abyss versus Scott Steiner.
Oh.
That's going to be a good matchup.
And for your main event, I think this happened in Ring of Honor a couple of times. Samoa Joe versus Milano Collection AT.
Interesting. Very interesting. I'm looking forward to this.
Yes, it should be quite the interesting card. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to say this right now, that next week, we will be doing a special 2-hour edition of the North American Wrestling Connection. Because we're going to have a jam-packed show, so we need 2 hours. We got Around the Horn we're going to do for the third time. We got to discuss all the happenings of the WWE draft that are going to take down on the 23rd, and we're going to talk about on the 27th. We got Night of Champions pickups. We're talking about the TNA Cincinnati house show that Nikki and referee Sean Matthews is going to partake in. We got a whole lot of stuff we're going to talk about, so set your timers. Join us here next week for the North American Wrestling Connection. You will not be disappointed. Can I turn off the Lance Wright microphone? I can? Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
I think
throw that out of the way.
Friday. Oh, wait.
next Friday.
It'll be insane. Okay, wait.
Friday.
And speaking of TNA news, we're going to jump right into that. Here's some interesting tidbits from The Observer.
Did they do wrestling stuff before they got into all MMA? Or?
Actually, there's something I want to talk about for MMA. This show, we're bringing back a favorite segment of ours, Moron of the Week, and we have 2 awards to give out. One to a group, and one to someone in MMA.
Cool.
And the crowd goes silent.
Anyway. I might have a third. Go ahead.
Okay. And you might have a third one, okay.
Yeah.
Because I know one we talked about together a few days back.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is something that I saw last night.
Which I missed. I probably missed.
It's not Impact. It's going to be MMA talk.
All right.
And the third one you have one later on. Okay. Here's some TNA tidbits for you. Doug Williams has signed a contract as regular will be starting at the next taping, so even after the World X Cup, he will partake. He will be booked for TNA Impact.
Very cool. Very cool. I'm looking forward to that.
And for people that don't know, Doug Williams is a pro wrestler coming out of London, England. He's wrestled in many successful promotions from England. He's a very talented hand. And we also got TNA. They've booked some major, not inexpensive arenas for a couple of shows in August. Friday, August 1st, and Sunday, August 2nd. They're going to be doing a show in Corpus Christi, Texas, and Laredo, Texas.
That actually sounds kind of cool.
There is rumor. I have rumor spreading on top of that.
Oh, cool.
The superstars of TNA may find their way into Indianapolis. And I'm going to keep an eye and an ear on that, because if that happens, I might have to just drop by.
Awesome.
And it's going to be kind of curious to see if they actually invade near SummerSlam weekend.
If they do, I might not be able to make. If they do that and they do it on Saturday night, even though I'm going to be in their backyard, I can't make that.
Well, guess what? I'll make that trip.
All right. Here's some news from the European tour. Turned out to be a huge success. They drew 1,600 at the Olympia in Liverpool, which was a few dozen tickets shy of a sellout on 6/12, and followed on 6/13 during a sellout of 1,650 in the same arena. So a near sellout and a sellout in Liverpool, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
The 6/14 show in Coventry, England drew 3,000 fans at a 3,200-seat arena.
Nice.
And 6/15 Exodus drew 2,000, which was a full house.
Very nice.
So it's nice to see that they're starting to branch out. Now, the second tour that they're doing in January is going to be a lot more ambitious.
Ambitious?
Yeah.
Ambiguous?
Close enough. Here's what they're going to be running. 3 of the 4 dates are in 10,000 to 18,000 seat arenas.
Whoa.
120 in Manchester.
They're going to try to get the news arena, where WWE's operated out of a couple of times.
121 is the Birmingham Sport Arena, where they used to run Gladiators. The UK Gladiators, I mean, and International Gladiators. 122 in Glasgow, Scotland. That's the only sub 10,000-seat arena. I think it's probably about a 5,000-seat arena. And listen to this. Talk about ambitious.
Ambitious.
Whatever. 124 Wembley Arena in London.
Wembley?
What? Arena, not stadium. Not the 100,000-seat stadium.
Oh, man.
Wembley Arena. That's a whole other ball of wax.
That's the 18,000-seater.
Yeah. Vince hasn't even tried Wembley.
Yeah, he ran Wembley before.
Stadium?
Yeah.
Okay.
SummerSlam 92.
And how'd he draw?
Sell out.
I think it was like 80,000 people, I mean.
80,000 people saw it.
And Dixie loves her company, but she knows she can't do that right now.
Mm-mm. However, if I have studied my map correctly, you know what 124 falls on?
What's that?
A Sunday.
A late Sunday, no less. Although I'd have to find out if the 09 Rumble is going to fall that same day?
Hold on. I'm looking at my 11, 18, no, I take that back, it's a Saturday.
Okay.
However, it would be really cool if they were able to pull off a pay-per-view. I think that could work, like a pay-per-view in Wembley Arena. You know, tape it on Saturday and air it on Sunday.
Right.
No, it's supposed to be live, but...
Not much you can do, although I was reading some information on one of the message boards I was on. They were talking with some of the honchos, because as you know, Dixie Carter and Jeremy Borash will talk with the fans. And the comment was made, you know, if we were supposed to do a pay-per-view live, you realize we'd be starting here at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And a bunch of fans said, okay, we'll be here at 1 o'clock in the morning. They said, seriously. They said, yeah, do it. So you never know.
Wow.
Now, that could be dangerous, because you're talking, okay, a pay-per-view in the middle of London at 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh, I would just pay for the train wrecks that would be involved with how many drunks would come through that door.
Oh, man, Don West would really be pulling up. You got to be kidding me.
Oh, yeah. You've got a soccer crowd walking into a wrestling event.
Oh, God.
I'd almost want to be there, but I'll sit in the balcony and just watch. And then the balcony will collapse.
Let's talk some Monday Night Raw.
Last week it was a Rick Roll. This week DX ring back. I'm just hoping that this coming Monday it's Our Lady Peace with their most famous song ever, the one no one will ever have to listen to again.
Who let the dogs out?
No, he's talking about whatever. Our Lady Peace's rendition of Benoit's intro.
You know,
I don't think anybody's that stupid.
No, but some people might be that vindictive. Just to see what Vince would do. I don't have ring back on my phone, but I kind of wish I did just so I could get the ECW anthem on the air.
Yeah.
Vince wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, but he'd rather hear Don't Question My Heart.
No, he'd rather hear Stand Back.
Oh,
somebody make it happen. I've got a website that will help you make it.
I would love that.
I know the...
So go ahead.
Does anybody have the wrestling album and has that song?
I have the song.
There's a website that I can tell you how to make it into a ringtone very quickly. I can't help you on a ring back, but I can help you on a ringtone.
I don't have the song. I don't have a cell phone.
Okay.
But here are the dark matches that happened on Raw, Salt Lake City, Utah, June
16th,
2008.
Okay.
Wondrick defeated Santino Marella and Gene Snitsky.
Hmm.
The rest of them have favorites going up against each other.
Carlito? I guess he was late.
And Ron Killings.
Yay.
They're still doing dark matches. What's up?
Who did he face?
Exactly. Doesn't say it. 7 question marks. So who?
Probably a jobber.
Random jobber. Sorry, that's what I get for watching Botchamania before coming on the air.
Oh, yeah.
I watched it already.
Right. Yeah, I watched it before the show. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get on the show, the number is 1-646-716-9678. Call us up and enjoy. join me and hearing Tyra in the background, we have VRM, Nikki Heyman, and is that you, Sean Matthews?
Sean's not here.
Is that Will Arnett?
That's probably Will stuff. Will, you still with us?
Hey, Forth, is that you?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Cause confusion.
That's
okay.
John Forth from the AIM chats. For the
moment. Okay. Yo.
All right, let's go. Start off with a street fight. John Cena defeated Umaga, which was set up by Vince. And tonight's password is watch Raw and win.
At least no one would screw it up like the previous week, like WDEF Universe.
Oof. We have the summer. We start out with the Street Fight John Cena defeated Umaga. Surprise, surprise.
After a rather heated... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
After a rather heated exchange between John Cena and current WWE champion, the evil Dr. Levitsky, Triple H. of course, we're not going to give... Something about his John Cena's fans not being able to stay up that late on a Sunday night?
Yeah.
Oh, burn!
Okay.
Didn't he also say, oh, that kid will lend you his belt so you can run around as champ? Didn't he say something like that?
Let me, you keep going, Mr. Seidelman. I'm going to go look that line up.
All right, go for it. She's looking that up. I'll continue running down the card. We had Charlie Haas actually doing some good. Hosted the bikini contest.
Booyah, booyah.
Good point. Lena stripped. Maurice was boring. Lena was okay. Layla tried too hard. Jillian didn't disrobe and just sang.
And then got immediately shut up.
Thank you, Charlie Haas.
Yeah.
Okay, what was the line you were looking for?
Oh, he was telling Cena that some kid will let him borrow his belt this Sunday and run around calling himself a champ. Something like that.
Okay, I couldn't find that one. I found no one told you to get up on the table and show off like a prima donna in the first place. I know you hate letting down your fans, but let's face this, most of them won't be watching Night of Champions because it'll be past their bedtime.
Burn!
Triple H, for some reason, anything he says is gold. Anything from even making fun of Masters or slipping the shillelagh line to Vince, that's... I don't know, when he wants to be funny, he can be just completely funny.
I like it when he's funny. Mr. Seidelman, where were we?
We're going to talk about a Million Dollar Mania great moment.
Uh-oh.
Someone had the answering machine going, was not at Raw when Vince called.
Fail.
Oh, man.
You're right, that calls for the fail sound.
Fail.
Woo!
Woo! I'm sorry, that kills me every time.
Thank you, WrestleCraft.com.
So, somebody wasn't home. So Vince said, I could have given you money.
And just cut one of the greatest things I heard that hour.
Oh, man.
And Hacksaw dialed the second number, and they heard a DX ringtone. And somebody won $50,000 because of it.
I'm just surprised Vince didn't accidentally break character and go, I didn't book DX for tonight.
I was going to laugh if Sean picked up. Now, Sean, you know better than that. You're not eligible, even if you aren't working tonight.
No!
Burn!
Thank you. Where were we?
Had $175,000 given away. Vince made Kyle sing the first part of the national anthem, which is worthy of...
It was worse than Jillian.
Which...
Woo!
Thank you, Mr. Seidelman.
You're welcome. And this guy named Kyle Matheson in Point Lakes, Minnesota, $175,000. Vince wanted to say something. Vince got there to try to call, but Kyle brought out that Night of Champions is on his birthday. So I think for his birthday, he's going to Night of Champions.
StubHub said, here, we got these wonderful tickets for $3,500.
They better be luxury box seats. I think he might be getting front row seats if they're not already sold out.
No, he'll probably find it. He could scare up front row camera for $3,500.
Yes, but he's got $175,000. He could possibly go to every single WWE show front row. $475,000.
With the price of gas, maybe half.
Good point. Chris Jericho is now in full-blown heel mode.
Yes, but that was a beautiful promo.
Oh, yeah. In which triumphs the return of this guy. If it will play.
Whoa!
Bob Barker?
No!
I deserve that.
Ric Flair came back!
Close.
Yeah, close. But not even close.
Same age.
Flair's only 60. Barker's like...
85.
Barker was born 2 years before Moses.
Wow.
Who was born?
And only a year after Blassie.
and yet still 20 years after McCain.
Oh. Burn. Anyways, Flair cut a beautiful promo. He can't wrestle anymore because he started to challenge Jericho to a fight in the parking lot.
Man, when Jericho was going to the door to the parking lot, I would have loved it if he just said, man, I hope the door isn't locked.
They're locked. Damn.
Now, when he opened it, I was expecting a little sweet chin music out of nowhere.
Yeah, he opens the door, he pokes his head out, wham, boom. But we got the wrong DX member.
We got Sean Waltman?
Oh!
Oh, by the way, we got some Sean Waltman news we'll talk about later on in the show. Probably in the archives.
Whoops, wrong fashion. Sorry. I said Virgil.
All right. You know, we have a thing going on at WrestleCrap.com. We're trying to put together like a wrestling show.
Mm-hmm.
For the main event, it's going to be an intergender match, Blade Braxton versus Nicole Bass.
Oh, God, no.
All because he lost a bet in 2005. It was a football bet. Whoever lost had to wrestle Nicole Bass. Artie won. He picked the Indianapolis Colts. His hometown.
Man.
Blade Braxton was an idiot and picked the Detroit Lions.
Why? Good Lord, I'm a Detroit fan and I'd never pick him for a Super Bowl.
Wait, did he pick it before or after the Bears made it to the Super Bowl? Because we can't put it past Blade to do the second part.
Before. He's always been a Lions fan. Even during the shitty Matt Millen days.
Is he officially gone? I haven't gotten...
No, Matt Mellon, unfortunately, still has a job.
They're going to burn Ford Field down to get rid
of
him. I'm glad I got to go one.
And speaking of Ric Flair, we had a million-dollar moment, which was beautiful. A contestant wins $16.
Whoa! Someone's getting a trip to New York.
I thought it was a huge diss against Flair.
I think you'll either be a trip to New York or probably Night of Champions, which I'd rather take Night of... Where is Night of Champions being held, by the way?
Dallas, Texas,
I believe. Texas. I don't know what city in Texas, but I think it's in Texas again.
I think I'd rather take New York. Cooler.
Dallas.
I've never been to Dallas. I'd go there.
Paul Burchill and Katie Lee defeat Mr. Kennedy and Mickey James. This is actually turning into a decent feud between Paul Burchill and Kennedy.
It's been fun to watch, and unfortunately, some people are taking the wrong things away from it because Mickey James came down with Kennedy, and she's like, "Oh my God, she's cheating on Cena." No. Don't pay no attention to that. This was a darn good match.
Right.
Now, Bertrand, where's the C4 anyway?
Yeah. I wish we did have the C4 again. And then Triple H defeated Chris Jericho by DQ. And guess who's helping out in the main event now? Who's getting the major push?
Rick Steiner?
Lance freaking Cade.
Big Bird of OVW.
Man.
OVW's Big Bird. I'll tell you what. My message board just shit all over it.
I don't doubt that.
I'm in wait and see mode. I realize that Cade really hasn't done a whole lot. He has been a tag champion in recent months. I might hold it slightly against him that it was the Cowboys that took the tag titles off the Heroes back in 2005. I resent that. Am I
no,
the only Heroes fan left on the planet?
No, it's watching one of the crappiest shows on television today.
Shut up and hang up the fucking phone.
Oh. What the hell was that?
Whoa! You're fired!
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to my mom, a diehard soap opera fan. Let's just move on.
Yo mama?
Yeah, it's my mom.
I know, but I'm not gonna start a your mama fight in here.
Don't worry. Sometimes my dad uses the F word every 5 words in a sentence, even if he's talking to the doctor.
Ouch. Who watched ECW on Tuesday?
I did.
I did.
I have one thing to say about that.
Evan Bourne.
Not Evan Bourne.
Evan Zabs?
How about Elijah Burke's new look?
Did I miss a scene?
I'm just glad for once Estrada didn't job to Delaney.
Yeah, it said he jobbed to Hornswoggle.
Yeah.
On that note, let's move on.
My apologies. I feel like I've missed the scene.
You probably did. TNA Impact, kickoff at the Pink Taco, whatever.
Okay, whoever.
We're not
going to
talk about the SSP?
Huh?
We're not
the Shooting Side Owl Press?
Yeah, the Shooting Star Press made its debut again. Not bad.
And it was beautiful. Oh, it was so beautiful. Somewhere
and
Billy Kidman.
That's because Seidel knows how to do it properly. Seidel
yes,
can do
does.
It properly. London
I,
can do it properly.
Yes.
And Kidman couldn't? Come on.
Kidman.
Gotta...
No. Kidman never jumped when he did his Shooting Star Press. If you watch London do it and if you watch Seidel do it, they actually jump. Kidman slips. And you're lucky. I'm surprised he hasn't hit his head on a turnbuckle.
He did.
I was going to say, they don't end up giving someone a concussion when it's all over. That's not doing it right.
And then Rice and the fans go, what the hell, instead of cool. Well, I've killed this whole thing.
Yeah, let's move on.
Sorry. Something about Impact.
Yeah, Impact, thing. Boy, this has turned into a fun show tonight, isn't it, folks?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, we got more on of the week that we can get to later on. We're going through TNA. We got a hyena in the room. But let's move on, shall we?
Please.
Opening match, Booker T defeated B.G. James in what could be described as a squash. I think we'd all agree about that.
All right.
How do you do that for an intercontinental champion like B.G. James?
That still boggles my mind.
I missed the show, so I'm just going to have to take your word for it.
We had a... Let's talk about World X Cup.
Yes, let's.
World X Cup Tag Team Match, Round 1. Team TNA defeated Team Internationale. Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin were Team TNA, and Team International was Sean Daivari and Tyson Dew.
I feel bad that I missed this. I understand Daivari just looks absolutely ripped.
Mm-hmm.
He looks scary, though, like, with the muscles and the shaved head. He looks like he should be, like squashing people left and right, though.
Yeah, he should be back in WWE doing that. Get over in ECW.
Yeah.
We set up a match for Victory Road, which is a Fans Revenge Lumberjack match. Just because the first one went over so well.
Another Fans Bring the Weapons match?
No.
Yeah. No. They stopped doing that after Foley gave Sandman a concussion.
With a real iron skillet.
Yeah. Jim Cornette, LAX, it's going to be LAX versus Robert Roode and James Storm at Victory Road.
Is it a title match, though, or is it non-title?
Yes.
For the belts.
So basically the stipulation is if somebody tries to run, they get whipped, or if somebody loses, they get whipped, how does it work?
No, they try to get out of the match, they get whipped.
Which of course means that LAX is going to be throwing people over the top ropes and the fans are going to swarm them.
And let's not forget that this will be all of Booker T's fans. All of Booker T's students.
So basically they're not allowing random strangers into the arena to whip wrestlers?
Nope.
Damn.
Darn.
I would have flown to Houston just for that.
I would have bought the paper for that.
All right. Then we get to the fan challenge. Two people came up. Temptress Kimberly, somebody who... Let's take a look here. She was a former TNA ring girl. Trained by the Warlord.
Warlord, very underrated big man.
Right. The Powers of Pain with Temptress. Defeated Kamala and Woman Game with Slick at Wrestle Fan Fest in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Temptress even slapped Slick and stole his hat. Because, as you know, WrestleCraft fans that watch, it gets big-um heat. And Kimberly is the ring girl, actually, new ring girl after SoCal Val went with Jay Lethal. And Chantel Taylor made her debut.
All right.
Now, this is the one you've been waiting for, Nikki.
Yeah.
Very experienced wrestler from Toronto,
mm-hmm.
Ontario, Canada. Trained by Rob Fuego and Bill DeMott. Wrestled as San Ai in a dark match. Fought all over the place in Border City Wrestling. She's a Shimmer Girl. Deep South Wrestling, she trained in. Now she was in Florida Championship Wrestling until August 14, 2007, when she was released from her contract. No idea why.
Could have been the way that Stephanie released Angelina. She didn't really like her look. Was that it?
Right. No, they didn't like her look. Thought that she was too generic and didn't have big enough boobs.
Bitter irony from WWE.
Right.
They say, Eric, you better get yourself some personality and fast.
Let's see what else we got here. World X Cup Tournament match. Kaz defeated Alex Kozlov, who is slated to be really close to getting a contract on his own.
That would be kind of cool, actually. I kind of like him.
He's got an interesting look. I would like to see more of his work.
Greatest moment. He did a Russian dance. He put on his Russian hat. Did the Russian dance on Kaz.
Oh man.
Oh, I'm feeling really bad that I missed this show.
Then torrent it. Because I missed that segment, too. I was in the bathroom.
I had to miss the second half. I had to make a phone call. It was a long one.
I was at a friend's house trying to get, just trying to get some internets done because my desktop is kaput right now. It will not stop me from updating my website. Go on.
Right. Rough Cut featuring Matt Morgan talked about having ADD growing up, getting to the athletics, basketball, playing college basketball, believe you can make it to the NBA, to be continued. And this is all supposed to be leading up to his debut on... Do I even have to play the sound? I got to. Fine.
Do it.
Okay, now we got that out of the way. Let's continue. Yes, he's going to be on American Gladiators. As much as I love American Gladiators, I'm going to talk about the Starcast. My four reasons why it's sucking this year. Stop being in the archives. We have a lot of stuff going on in the archives.
That's true, because we only got 17 minutes here.
Yeah, and we're almost done with the TNA stuff.
Okay.
We had at the Pink Taco again. So he's the one an apology from Duff for ruining his wedding. Then Dutt snarkly. I can't talk tonight. Dutt said that he should ask about how she feels about it. Lethal got pissed and they brawled, destroying the Pink Taco set. It all ended with Lethal spearing Dutt through a sliding metal garage door.
Ow, 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 ow.
A garage door? What the hell? Was there like a building nearby, or was it just a TV set they were brawling on?
Probably a TV set.
It was probably a set, and either that or this bar is in a warehouse.
Oh man.
Jackie Moore defeated Salinas by submission. This was stemming off of the Jim Cornette LAX segment. Jackie Moore defeated Salinas by submission.
Mm-hmm.
And then in a tag team grudge match, Christian Cage and AJ Styles defeated Team 3D.
Well, it's good to have the original AJ back. I didn't really like the comedy act he was doing.
Right. After the match, Frank Trigg showed up and yelled at AJ Styles for attacking him earlier. Because Frank Trigg looks a lot like Kurt Angle. Ugh. Kurt Angle then stuck up from behind and knocked out AJ Styles. This is going to build up to yet another match at Victory Road.
Kurt Angle versus Frank Trigg?
No. Kurt Angle versus AJ Styles. Frank Trigg will probably be involved.
Special guest referee, anyone?
No, he'll probably be running interference.
Let's hope when Angle says he's in the best shape of his life, he means it.
Then later on,
we have a spoiler for SmackDown. We have a spoiler for the draft.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wait.
No. From WrestlingHerald.com, Chris Johnson reports a couple of weeks back that Triple H's name was considered to switch to SmackDown. More recently, John Cena's name has come up as well. Triple H might not be likely, but John Cena will probably be jumping to SmackDown.
Yeah.
If he goes and he loses to Triple H, they need to retire that spinner belt.
They're just going to move it to SmackDown.
Why?
No, but it's going to be a spinner belt like the World Heavyweight Championship. They're probably going to refer back to the old WWE Undisputed Championship belt.
I prefer they go to the Big Eagle belt.
Yes. 90s. Early 90s Eagle belt ruled.
The late 90s, the Attitude Era belt. That was my favorite.
Yeah.
That would be a good idea.
It would confuse someone to see Triple H holding that championship. He'd be like, did I fall asleep in the wrong time again?
I think you did. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we have something to talk about. Don't we, Nikki?
That we do.
What a knucklehead!
And which knucklehead would you like to start with?
And the coup de grace. Thank you, Jim. Moron of the week. We have a triple header of moron of the week, don't we, Nikki?
That we do.
Let's start off with the biggest one. It's been a recent rash lately in WWE programming where fans decide they want that just sitting in front row isn't quite enough. I mean, they actually want to get into the ring and see their stars live. Such is evident as a clip that we saw in the recent Botchamania video.
Man, I gotta see this video now.
Idiot fan decided to jump over the guardrail or the protective barrier, whatever thing that they have on over there, jumped over it and ran into the ring.
Was this during what was this during? What recent event?
John Cena,
Hardy,
Jeff Hardy.
This was John Cena
Raw
versus Jeff Hardy at a Raw a couple of weeks ago.
A main event,
no less. Now, if you look around YouTube, I don't know if it's been taken down yet, but there is a fan video taken on the side of the ring where this went down. I would love to just send that to WWE and say, hey, this might have been his buddy.
Oh, man.
Oy.
And I, my condolences to Jimmy Jr., who is the WWE security guard that had to drag that idiot out of the ring and back over the barricade, delaying the match about a minute and a half, because Cena and Jeff said, you know what, they're watching them, just since us doing anything cool, because nobody's going to see it. And actually, that was the one I was thinking of, Mr. Seidelman, so we might not have a triple hitter.
Oh. But yeah, this has happened quite frequently on Raw for the past few weeks.
I found it.
You found it? Okay.
Will you please share that with the rest of the class, Ms. Heyman?
Which one? The fan video?
Yeah.
How would you like me to share that?
Good. Never mind. Let's move on. But this has happened in recent weeks still. Happened the week after that, another fan jumped the guardrail.
How did I miss
like,
that?
Because the camera crew actually covered it up well.
Okay.
And there were some glimpses of it. I don't recall during which match, but it was there.
Somehow I want to see one jump the rail during a Beth Phoenix match just to see if she just clocks him with one hit.
Oh, I saw one, there was one that happened that did not make it to TV, and that was a Detroit Draft Day 4 years ago.
Oh, man.
It was during the main event, Triple H versus Eddie Guerrero. Some idiot jumped in the ring, one of the wrestlers kicked him in the head, and the ref got a shot in on him, and then Eddie and Hunter moved away from him so they could get him out of the ring. The poor sap wasted some jail time, and it never made it to television.
Oh, man.
Fail!
Major epic fail.
I gotta say, though, the best one I've been Eddie and RVD.
The Eddie
oh,
RVD
ladder that
ladder
match.
One. That's where I was sitting there going, dude, what happened?
Okay, if that was the one you're talking about, then we just have a doubleheader then. VRM
yes,
and I were discussing before the show about our next moron of the week. Moron of the week could actually be more is a good candidate for moron of the year.
Uh-oh.
Nick, have you ever seen The Ultimate Fighter?
Here and there. I don't watch it on a regular basis.
Oh, you should have watched it last week, because then you'll know what me and VRM are going to talk about.
You mind if
something
I
about a house getting trashed?
No. This
is worse.
Better than that. Can I explain it?
VRM is a big MMA guy. He's actually works with his own show with Chris Decker, so go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so last week's episode of The Ultimate Fighter, Jesse Taylor, who was probably the favorite to win the entire thing for this year, won his match, his semifinal match, and
mm-hmm.
he is fighting in the tournament championship where there's a UFC contract on the line. Then this past week, they showed the last fight of the tournament before the finale, which is tomorrow. And Amir Saddle, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, beat Stevie Dalloway. Now, here's the thing. After the show is over, Jesse Taylor and a couple other guys from The Ultimate Fighter stay in Vegas for a couple extra nights. They
mm-hmm.
rent a limo. When they pull up to the hotel that they're staying in, Jesse Taylor kicks the window out. So it gets worse. He then goes into the bar and quote unquote terrorizes some of the female patrons there. And then when security finds him, they try to escort him out. He's screaming, "You can't do this to me! I'm a UFC fighter! I'm a UFC fighter!" When Dana White sees this, he calls up Forrest Griffin and Rampage Jackson, who are the coaches. They look at it, and they all agree there is no fucking way that this guy is going to be fighting for a contract. So they call him in. They ask him what happened. He says he got too drunk. And they said, first time ever, somebody gets kicked off the show after it's over. So they call back CB Dalloway and Tim Crater, who were the losers of the semifinals. They have a fight. And then they get to, and then CB Dalloway won the fight. So now he's getting the shot, which is basically a rematch in his fight against Amir. And that's going to be for the for the Ultimate Fighter title this season.
Wow.
And for the contract, that's going to be a really sweet match, though.
Yeah.
That's the UFC fight I'm really looking forward to. So, yeah, Jason Taylor and the idiots that climb into the ring. Not an epic fail for you. You get the ultimate fail.
Cool about it. Come on, boys will be boys. At least be cool about it. They try to play it off as something that won't happen again, but, well, that's it for him.
Yeah, however, when it comes to Jason Taylor, Dana White says, get yourself clean. Get yourself clean, get your life straightened out, and then come see us in a few months.
Actually, you know what? I will correct myself. I am going to throw in a candidate for Moron of the Week.
All right, who is it?
Mr. Chris Harris.
Oof.
Man,
why? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what do you do?
First of all, the guy, when Harris left TNA, he decided to go home and rest up and probably spent every night eating fried chicken. The one dark match that he's done, he did in a singlet to hide his midsection. He probably had a control top on it.
Oof.
Oh, man. Why do I have why do I have the feeling that he better not pick up a chair, otherwise he'll succeed Dreamer in that whole thing, that whole because he's fat thing.
And that's why you haven't seen him on TV yet. I would think when you leave a promotion to go to another one and you got all that time off, you go buy a sleeping bag and you sleep in that freaking gym.
Oh, man.
Oof.
At least Ultimate Warrior's taking it seriously, but...
Not that anybody else is.
I say Chris Harris qualifies for one of these.
Woo! He does. I'm sorry. If I had all that time and they're paying me all that money, some of that money is being paid into a gym membership. Mr. Gold, hand me a weight. I will go in there and get my shit together so that I can work.
Good point. We don't have much time left on the show, so we'll quickly skim through. What we're gonna do is we're gonna quickly. I give up. Thank you. What we're gonna do is. Sorry, I can't control myself tonight.
Quick, do something, Adam Lee.
You're making me crazy, Nikki Amon. You're Jamaican me crazy.
And that's what I like about you, Mike. You're an honest man.
All right, now moving on. I forgot what I was getting. Oh, yeah, Chikara Young Lions Cup. Remember last week on the show I ripped Vin Gerard for being a complete ripoff of Art Cannon?
Yeah.
Well, he's not a complete ripoff of Art Cannon. I mean... Art Cannon won. Vin Gerard lost. And the winner? Fire Ant. That's right. Fire Ant won the Young Lions Cup this year.
I had my money on Callahan.
He got beat by Vin Gerard.
I know, but
with the
N is a with a real STF.
Yeah.
At least it was a real STF.
Mm-hmm.
Not the one that makes you do a poopy face.
Not the one that you have to scream to keep yourself from falling asleep in it.
Yeah. The STF that Bill Watts loves to do. And that's going to end it for this week's show, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to continue and talk more in the archives. So for VRM, Nikki Heyman, and Sean Matthews. I'm Robert Simon saying good night, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Night.
All right, we're back. Let's talk archive, folks.
So one of the four reasons why American Gladiator sucks, and I can think of reasons number one right now.
Oh, yeah.
Titan?
Go ahead, number one.
Number one, Hogan.
Yes. Biggest reason why American Gladiators is sucking at the moment.
Is it because he's doing a bad job, or is it because of the media circus?
No, oh yeah, the media circus is horrible.
I think the media circus is the biggest part of it.
Oh, yeah. American Gladiators hasn't even broken a three yet.
And NBC's getting impatient, and they actually chopped the show down. It's not 90 minutes anymore, it's an hour.
Yeah. So... Yeah, and Hogan is not helping matters with the media circus and everything. Brooke getting her own reality show.
Why?
Because she's part of the VH1 Inner Circle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's made by the same brain trust who created I Love New York 1, 2, I Love Money, and Rock of Love Charm School.
Mm-hmm. They're the ones that came up with Stylista.
Yeah.
With reality shows and pseudo-celebrities. Now, why is it now that these people are getting these shows and they're becoming famous for either being somebody no one wants to work with or someone who has sex in front of a camera for no money?
We're looking at you, Kim Kardashian.
There you go.
On that note, reason number two. Too many gladiators. I mean, think about it. They have a good core of like 8-9 gladiators. But
right.
They decide, no, we need to bring in 8 more.
Oh, man.
I mean, we got... Titan, we got Toa, we got Justice, we got Militia, we got Wolf, we got Jet, we got Rocket, we got Zen, we got Hurricane, we're going to have Beast coming soon. That's just the men. That's 9 gladiators.
And it seems pretty excessive because my initial thought was, okay, if we're going to have this way, if we have more gladiators, somebody gets hurt, at least it's not a huge scramble. There's a couple of guys I wouldn't mind seeing them drop. But
I didn't even get to the female gladiators yet.
I know.
We got Crush. We got Venom. We got Helga. We got Siren. We got Helga. We have
Helga.
Jet. We have Phoenix. We have Steel. We have, Storm. In total, that's about 17 gladiators.
Okay,
in my mind, that's 7 too many.
Yeah. Wait, the contestants from last season, they won a spot on the show, right? How many of those were the contestants that won a spot?
Two.
Rocket
and Jet.
Yeah.
And both are actually really good.
Yes.
Jet as Rocky the all-around.
And Rocket at the fast one.
Yeah, Rocket is speed personified.
On the wall.
He's great on the wall, Vertigo, also pretty decent at Rocketball.
Rocketball?
Have you been on Skytrack yet?
Yeah, oh yeah, that's right, Skytrack as well. Thanks for reminding
me.
Oh, yeah. And excellent on Skytrack.
Actually, let me ask you this, Mr. Settleman. How many events total are there on this current incarnation of Gladiators?
About 16.
Have you noticed that Hogan and Leia occasionally remark about the specialization of gladiators on certain events.
Yeah. I mean, you always see Helga on Assault. You always see... I mean, you're
your favorite
on the Joust.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah. Wolf does just has done, let's see. His big thing is Hang Tough.
Wolf does Hang Tough. He does Sky Trap. Actually, Wolf can do pretty much everything.
Right. Although, I wonder if Vinnie Mac is aware that Wolf has a wrestling background and could probably sign him for a cross-promotional deal.
I would mark for Wolf to become Ice Intercontinental Champion.
I would mark for Wolf showing up on Raw, and I hope I'm front row when he's there.
I would find it weird though, because we all know he's got to have one interaction with one guy there.
Who?
His name is Jeff Hardy. Hardy.
Nice one. All right. And that's number two. Too many gladiators. Too many gladiators. Actually, I'm going to bunch up with too much stuff. Too many gladiators. Too many events and too many hosts. I mean, you got Hogan, you got Layla, and you got Van Orr Wright, the announcer. That's three. That's one too many.
Yeah.
If you ask me to get rid of one, though, I'd get rid of the announcer because he's almost as corny as Adam.
Actually, here's what I would do. I'm going to try to make it on the cheap, and I'll talk about that afterwards, what I got on for number three. When they debuted it, they debuted it on Memorial Day. That's not the day to debut shows. I mean, the CBS sitcoms, Two and a Half Men, and, God, what the hell's that other one?
How I Met Your Mother?
That's right, How I Met Your Mother. They're pulling fives, they're pulling sixes, they're making money.
Mm-hmm.
They put them up against gladiators. They were still going up against Dancing with the Stars. And against the House finale.
Mm-hmm.
They pulled a 2.2.
Ouch.
Ooh.
And that... Ooh. The rating just never got better. I mean, during sweep week... No, during... when they had the strike...
Mm-hmm.
They put it on Sundays. And boom. Ratings. Because it was new, it was unique.
Mm-hmm.
So, I am poo-pooing NBC at this point. And ready for number four?
Sure.
It's boring. I mean, most of the episodes now, it's just like, what we're going to see next week is a group of married couples fighting it out.
Oh, man, they're in team weeks already?
Yeah, they were doing team weeks.
This past week, they just had twins.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I'm also gonna complain to NBC about the scheduling of the show, since the show targets almost the same audience that watches Raw. You're gonna lose ratings for people changing channels unless you've got a really tight competition going.
Yeah.
When it was still 90 minutes, I was still changing the channel at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, we all know
when it was 90 minutes, I was more concerned with American Gladiators than Raw.
I'm just saying.
And how about this? Another reason why did they cut down to 60 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Freaking Nashville Star.
Which looks interesting, but I'm not a reality show person.
And you know what the sad thing is? It pulls a six.
Ah,
that is sad.
Wow.
And it's live.
And somewhere Vince weeps.
Yeah. It's going to do boffo when it comes to sweeps because they're going to pull out all spots. They're going to pull the big country names. They're going to pull out Big and Rich. They're going to pull out... they got... Who the hell they got doing the show? Oh, Bill Ray Cyrus is hosting the show, and you look at him, he's completely changed.
Mm-hmm.
He does kind of look like
Travis
Tritt. Yeah, I was going to say, he looks like on TV when somebody goes to California and they show him like 5 minutes of the episode after that, and they've changed
mm-hmm.
completely.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
And now, let's talk about how to fix Gladiators.
Simple. The only other way that a show like the show that has a wrestling type audience that went up against Raw the last time that it did great ratings against Raw was one reason. We need Hogan to leg drop Layla Ali.
Layla Ali would kick Hogan's ass from one side of Gladiator Arena to the next.
And Nikki's right. Here's what needs to happen. Cut down the Gladiator Corps from 17 to 10. And I have a list of Gladiators I'd like to keep.
Alright.
Titan, Wolf, Toa, Hurricane, and Rocket.
You wouldn't keep Zen.
No, I would not.
Okay.
And for the women gladiators, which is harder to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of them are pretty good. But here's what I got. Crush, Jet, Phoenix, Steel, and Venom.
Interesting. You wouldn't keep Helga.
No, I would not.
Okay.
Helga doesn't do anything. Helga does assault and hit and run. That's it.
And Gauntlet.
I would keep her specifically for Gauntlet. I can understand why you're dropping Justice, because that's a redundancy to Titan. And I can understand why you're dropping Militia, because in the beginning he's got a great look, but you don't see him very often.
He got hurt.
Plus,
that's why, you know, I would even throw in, you know, one more on each side just for that contingency.
We'd have alternate gladiators, and when it comes to alternate gladiators, sadly enough, I would not keep Beast. I would not keep Matt Morgan.
Right.
I wouldn't even have him as an alternate just because I haven't seen him yet. This might change when I see him as a gladiator.
Mm-hmm.
For an alternate, I would actually put Justice back in.
Alright.
Because he sort of reminds me of like Rebel or Tank as an alternate gladiator.
Mm-hmm.
And for women, I'd put Storm in.
Alright.
And two, we cut down the host from 3 to 2. Layla is good, but we gotta get rid of her. Because she wants too much money, and plus she's going to be doing other shows.
Okay.
I'd work out a deal with WWE, work out like a cross-promotion deal so we can get Adam Lee to do Gladiators,
because
yeah. That's where he's home.
Beautiful.
And we'd get him doing commentary along with a gladiator that has host experience before, very charismatic and well done.
Oh?
I'd bring back Hawk.
Okay.
Lee Rareman.
Yeah.
And to fill in the gap, I realize that Gladiators doesn't conflict with SmackDown and ECW. But if that meant getting Adam Lee off of ECW, I'd go ahead and let Cole do play-by-play for ECW. If they're not going to bring Joey back.
I would keep Cole on SmackDown, and I would throw, like, Josh Matthews in because ECW is not going to last past 2008, let's face it.
That's why I'm saying you save even more money and just have Cole pull double duty.
Good point. And shorten the amount of events that you have. And, like, have a good solid rotation of, like, 9 or 10 events.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the events that, in my opinion, you have to have. Assault, Gauntlet, Joust, Powerball, Pyramid, The Wall. Those are the 6 core events. You have to keep those.
Yes. I would keep Skytrack.
That is really cool.
Tilt.
I'm not a fan of Tilt.
Earthquake.
No Earthquake. If we're going to have something like Earthquake, I'd bring back Breakthrough and Conquer.
They're bringing back Atlas Fear sometime this season.
Yeah, I'd put that in.
I like Hang Tough, but
yeah. Oh yeah, Hang Tough in that too. And for 10, I'd put Rocket Paul in there.
Mhm.
That's kind of like a new form of Skytrack. It's kind of like a new, not Skytrack, but Swingshot.
Yeah.
And we shorten the Eliminator.
I do like the first season version. The only thing that I would have changed from the first season to the second season is on the hand bike to put the ball pit in. Because people, I think some guys were deliberately dropping because that hand bike takes too long.
Yeah.
The hand bike is basically pointless in my opinion because I mean they dropped and at least they have the ball pit now. They should also detain them like they did in the first back in like what was it, seasons 3, 4, and 5.
They did 6, 7, 2 for 10 seconds. They hold them down there for like 7 seconds. 7 for the men, 10 for the women.
See, that's the other thing, but I wouldn't put 2 different times in there. I like the fact that the men and the women have to face the same eliminator.
Yep.
Yeah.
And here's how I do the eliminator. And this can be completely derivative of the old eliminator.
Mm-hmm.
Climb up the wall. You know, the cargo net wall.
Right.
Then you go through the commando lines.
Mm-hmm.
Then you do the hand bike. Then you have the spinning cylinder to go down. Climb the pyramid, go to the zip line. Instead of the teeter-totter, bring back the plexiglass wall.
Oh. Then you get absolutely no momentum whatsoever. And then you really have to work the travel later.
And everybody's allowed to. And we have the ref up there.
Mm-hmm.
And the 3 attempts max before you go up the side.
Yeah. And you go through the barrier and you win. The way that I see it, the average time for women should be about 3.5 minutes. The average time for men should be about 2.
Okay.
Yeah. Here are the winning times for the first 6 episodes for the men. 158, 206.
And that was done last week.
The 158, yeah. 210. 256, 303, 10:30.
Oh, like, what were they doing for 10 minutes?
Oh, the Travelator.
Oh, man. That's the worst part, when they get stuck on that one part. Because you just went to, just go up the side. You've already lost.
Anyways, and that's how I'd fix the show. Oh, I forgot to have it be 60 minutes, five events plus Eliminator.
Yeah.
Five for the men, five for the women, or?
No, it
no,
would still...
Same amount of events, both sexes.
Yep. 20 men, 20 women, 10 matches. Then you have two semifinals. And here's how I would do it. Top four qualify.
All right.
Two semifinals. And then the finals. The winners get $50,000 cash and the brand new Toyota Tundra.
And then it'd be into a grand championship versus the next season winners.
If there is a next season.
I'm not seeing it.
Mm-mm. Actually, they've signed on for two more seasons, this one and the next one.
Okay.
And that was Ben Silverman jumping the gun a bit.
Right.
But it's not entirely Ben Silverman's fault. It's NBC's fault for, you know, scheduling it. They just rushed it. They rushed it back, and it came out bad.
They rushed the second season.
Yeah.
Oh.
I like the bigger arena, though.
Yeah, we'd keep the bigger arena.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Hang Tough actually looks like Hang Tough now.
And Assault looks like Assault.
Yeah.
Good.
And I would keep the pool for Hang Tough for Joust, and it'd just be the big splashdown to end the Eliminator.
That'll work.
Yep.
Oh.
How about we talk about some Ring of Honor?
We can talk about that or the draft.
Oh, we forgot to talk about... No, we had some news about the draft.
Well, we had the spoiler about the draft.
Oh.
I'm just wondering...
about predictions. There's not going
to
be predictions.
No, we don't have to have predictions. I was just going to say, you know, just see if anybody had any... you know, thoughts, neat ideas, you know, what kind of craziness do you think they'll try to pull?
I do. Cena to SmackDown, Batista to Raw.
Would not surprise me.
Which would revive the 06 Cena versus Edge feud and the 05 Batista versus Trips.
And I can definitely see those happening. One thing that I think is going to happen for sure, I think that CM Punk is going to, they're going to officially make him into a SmackDown wrestler. But it's not just going to be the talent exchange. He's going to officially be on SmackDown.
I think the timing of the Deuce and Domino breakup was deliberate. I think we're going to learn a little bit more about Deuce when he gets moved to Raw. If they're really going to go through with the second-gen stable.
Yes, because isn't he like adopted son to...
Snuka.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I was expecting him to do the hand gesture tonight on SmackDown.
Nah, he wasn't. He just wasn't happy. So, but we get him over there. I'd love to see them move Natty, but it looks like they've got a story for her, so she's not going anywhere. But we get Deuce over there. We've got DiBiase Jr. We've got Cody Rhodes.
Harry Smith.
We've got Harry Smith somewhere, off wellness at least. I understand that one of Henning's boys is in developmental.
Yes, Joe Henning is in developmental.
Right, and you got to watch out for pictures out there. There are some pictures out there of a toe-headed guy in a silvery white singlet. That's Nick Nemeth. That's not Joe Henning. Who else? I keep thinking there's one or two. Well, we got, and this would be the springboard for Carlito.
Oh, yeah.
This would be a great storyline for him, and heck, put him in charge of it. He's probably got the best mic skills out of all these second-geners.
Good point. Would you put Ted DiBiase Jr. in there?
Absolutely. If Carlito doesn't end up leading it, DiBiase Jr. might be a very strong second just because of his pedigree.
And his money.
And his money. But I'm just saying, just by virtue of who his father is, he might end up being in charge of it.
By the way, do you have any plans to go to New York August 2nd?
August 2nd? It's not on my schedule. Let me see. Not at this point.
I would get tickets for Death Before Dishonor 6, Hammerstein Ballroom, Manhattan, New York.
Ooh. God, I love the ballroom.
You'll love this match. Two big matches have been signed.
All right.
The Motor City Machine Guns.
Mm-hmm.
Are getting a Ring of Honor title shot. Actually, they could be getting a Ring of Honor title shot, but they have to beat Kevin Steen and El Generico.
Wait, what's going on there with TNA? I thought they didn't want any other stars being on any Ring of Honor pay-per-views.
This is not going to be for pay-per-view.
It isn't? Oh.
They can't show TNA stars on pay-per-view, but they can show them on DVD.
Oh, all right. Go ahead.
And then also another good match. Step before Sonar 6 will have Naomichi Marufuji versus Go Tsuyozaki.
Okay.
So two matches already set up. Marufuji, Tsuyozaki, and Steen Errico versus the Guns.
Actually sounds kind of cool.
It's a good start. I am very intrigued. My August is pretty solidly booked. I'm going to be in Indianapolis from August 13th through the 17th, and yes, that includes SummerSlam. Also, tomorrow morning I will be procuring my tickets for SmackDown ECW taping in Pittsburgh on August the 26th. And the reason that I'm being a little, I'm advertising this one pretty strongly is the fact that I have a quote-unquote cousin in Pennsylvania who is going to show up also properly dressed. And I'm going to have a photographer record this event. There are too many Heymans in this world.
And we know one of them.
And I know one of them, and I'm going to enjoy this photograph. We have been joking about this for about a year and a half now. I'm probably going to take that.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, when I came across this picture of him at an ECW only house show, which he's taken down, I've got to get him to repost it. I decided, you know what, we do need to meet at a show. And he said, Pittsburgh. I said, I'm there. I will talk to him tomorrow about whether or not he's going to have tickets, and I will update you guys as we get closer. I'm probably going to take the entire day off so that I can get to Pittsburgh early and just tell him to meet me down by the fences where we're going to catch the guys coming in and get a picture. Trophy will be if I can get him and me and Tommy Dreamer in the same shot.
And also, do you collect the Ring of Honor DVDs, Nikki VRM, Sean?
No, I do not. The only one I have is Survival of the Fittest, which is the one I attended.
Well, listen to this. This would be a good time to catch up. The Big Ten sale is back later today at ringofhonorwrestling.com. So you can catch tickets and DVDs for under $10 each. $10 tickets.
I gotta look into that. I thought I had my third row seats, but I have not been charged yet.
You can get tickets for $6.27 in Dayton.
Which is the show I want.
$6.28 in Chicago.
Too far.
$7.25 in Toronto.
Way too far. Well, not way too far. That's about 8 or 9 hours for me, though.
And the 7:26 pay-per-view taping in Detroit.
Ooh.
For only $10 each.
Ooh.
But
yeah,
not only that.
How many seats are they?
I don't know.
7:26, you said?
Yeah, 7:26.
I'm booked. No, my July tour is already set. I think it's July 5th. I've got to double check that. IPW in Indianapolis. July 11th, Lexington. July 12th, Charleston, West Virginia. July 18th, Generation of Destination Wrestling. That's tentative. July 25th, Youngstown. May or may not happen. July 26th, Raw House Show, Wheeling, West Virginia.
Yeah.
Already landed the tickets for it. I'm going to be out there with DJ.
Oh, cool. Well, I would suggest check out everything at ringofhonorwrestling.com because everything is 10% off. And you can check out these classic DVDs for under $10 each. Best of CM Punk Volume 1. Joe versus Punk 2.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere to Run, which is Punk versus Jimmy Rave in a steel cage match, and Bryan Danielson versus Austin Aries 1.
Mm-hmm.
Weekend of Thunder Night 1.
Right.
Jushin Thunder Liger versus Bryan Danielson.
Ooh.
Austin Aries versus CM Punk.
Okay.
Fate of an Angel. Matt Hardy versus Christopher Daniels.
That was the Dayton show when Matt Hardy was a free agent.
Yep. And CM Punk versus James Gibson, whoever he is.
I might know him.
I wonder whatever happened to him. It's like he fell off the face of the earth or something.
Yeah.
No, he married some chick with a big nose and moved into a double wide.
You might know where Christopher Daniels is right now.
I think he's in Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's on an extended vacation over there sampling the culinary delights.
And also listen to this. You can also get new releases like Ring of Honor's Return Engagement for 10% off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Briscoes versus Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin 2. El Generico versus Kota Ibushi.
Mm-hmm.
Nigel McGuinness versus Kevin Steen.
Interesting.
And that's 10% off. And you said you might be missing the 6:27 show in Dayton.
Well, that actually has changed. My original plans for next week have completely and utterly fallen through. I am so upset. I was going to be working at the Origins Gaming Convention for a small firm out of Warsaw. I received an email today from Michal Lisowski telling me that he cannot afford the flight in the town, and he doesn't think he was going to make any money. So I'm trying to get in touch with him to see if he needs me to do any pre-preparations, because I will be working with him in August. That is confirmed. He's not backing out of that one.
All right, good. Keep an eye. I would say keep an eye on Roderick Strong versus Chris Hero.
Yeah, I could watch that.
And Roderick Strong is pissed at Sweet and Sour Incorporated for what happened in Philly. The first matches for the shows in Toronto, which former colleague of ours, Trista Timpson, and I believe Lucas Pincari is going to be going to that show. And the 7/26 pay-per-view taping in Detroit, I think, which should be a good one, and those have $10 tickets. And how about this one? 6/28 in Chicago. Bryan Danielson versus Claudio Castagnoli.
I respect what Danielson can do in the ring, and I was very satisfied with what I saw Claudio in Cleveland.
And Bryan Danielson, if he's thinking about going to AAA in Mexico.
He's best in the world. He can go wherever the hell he wants.
Somehow the dream match between him and Bobby Lashley is one step closer.
Interesting. And it couldn't have come at a better time, because lots of luchadors are going to be leaving AAA. In the past month, here's who left. Abismo Negro, he was fired.
Okay. All
right. Mr. Nibla left for CMLL.
Okay.
Ray Cometa, IWRG, women wrestling. Los Guapos VIP, that is Scorpio, Zambito, Destinus, and Guapito. They're going to be going back to IWRG.
Okay.
Martha and her crew of women wrestlers. She was a promoter of AAA.
And she's leaving.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Super Colo.
Super Colo's leaving?
Yep.
Wow.
And just yesterday, probably one of the worst people to lose. Intokable. Left.
And again, I was going to be silly and say Player Uno, but that's just not nice.
And they just worked out a deal with Ring of Honor. And the news is Conan and the Bookers want to turn AAA into like a Mexican Ring of Honor.
Do you think that these negotiations might have had an effect on those, you know, might have been part of the reason some of those guys left?
Yeah, especially since you saw the coming in of Teddy Hart. Good Lord.
Oh, no, 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 no. That man should not be working anywhere until he grows up.
Jack Evans is in there. Sean Waltman worked at the AAA pay-per-view.
Was he straight and sober?
Yeah, he was straight and sober. They're not going to hire him immediately. He's got to work for it.
Okay. Jack Evans.
Bryan Danielson made his debut in the AAA pay-per-view a few days ago. So there you go. And AAA wants to use Austin Aries, the Briscoes, Roderick Strong, Ruckus, and Rocky Romero in the future. Rocky Romero would be a good fit for AAA.
Yeah. I think Gabe would go for it.
Yeah, send the No Remora Corps down to Mexico and have him just run roughshod.
Gabe, you mark.
They're going to be exchanging talent. In all seriousness, I would like to see Macias go into Ring of Honor for a few shows.
Macias is being wooed by TNA.
Again?
They're going to bring him back. I thought he was done.
No, not Judas Macias. This is a different Macias.
I thought they were the same guy.
Here's who I was talking about with Nikki a few days ago.
Okay.
Phil Shatter, Mikal Judas, Mikal Judas. He was originally supposed to be Judas Macias, but they had some problems with his. They had some problems, you know, with dates and whatnot.
Okay.
Because he was booked elsewhere when they needed him. So I think that's why you got that WSX guy as Judas.
Okay.
Who's that guy again?
The one I was talking about, or?
Yeah.
Who played
Ricky Banderas.
Yeah, him.
Oh. Also, Truett Fields. All three of those wrestlers mainly worked in the Georgia, Alabama area.
Okay.
Judas did have a tryout a while back and was said to have impressed several members of management, so I think he might be called up shortly. Now, this is one that me and Nikki saw videos of and were really impressed by with his promos and his in-ring work. Ontario indie wrestler Cody Deaner has signed with TNA and is expected to start in a few weeks when his immigration papers get worked out.
That's gonna be an excellent addition to TNA. I'm very excited. I don't sound it, but I am excited about it because I'm sleepy. And it doesn't help that both of my cats are sound asleep next to me.
Mhm. TNA has had in now. Here's something interesting. TNA is looking to sign more indie unknown talents in the next few months in hopes of building up their own stars. As signing ex-WWE stars. Now, that's pretty good right there.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with signing like a WWE guy that was underused, but when most of the roster, or most of the people that you sign are guys that the better days are behind them, it doesn't really look good for your company, you know?
Well, the problem was is that TNA was in danger of turning into another WCW by relying on established stars who are past their prime at varying lengths.
I think the first case of this, you could go all the way back, is when they put, on the first pay-per-view, they put the belt on Ken Shamrock.
Right.
That eased in 2003, 2004. You didn't see really many WWE talent in there. You saw some ECW talent come in. You saw Sandman, who at the time wasn't in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
You saw Raven in there, but he's a big star in the independent scene that doesn't really matter.
Sabu was there for a little bit.
Sabu was there for a long time.
Yeah, but Sabu's been it.
He was there until, the new ECW, I think.
Yeah, Lockdown 2006 was his last match.
Right. Rhino worked his way over there at some point.
Yeah, 2004.
Yeah,
mid to late 2004.
Yeah, he held the title at one point, though.
Well, he won the NWA. He won the TNA title, but that was in, 2006.
No, 2004.
I thought it was later than that.
No. I have every Impact from 2006.
Okay, I could have sworn that Rhino had the title later than that. You know, and even if he only had it for a couple of weeks.
Then things slowed down. Then they got Sting. They got Christian.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it really started.
Yep, because then they got Angle. And they got
Dudleys were there way earlier.
Right.
Like 2005, right after ECW One Night Stand. They went to TNA and were actually really good. For proof of how they were booked in TNA, look up Team 3D Funeral. Greatest piece of TNA footage ever.
I think I know the promo you're talking about.
Yep.
Although, and they had some awesome promos at Hardcore War the night before the second One Night Stand.
Right.
Where the Dudleys talked about it, Spike talked about it, Rhino talked about it. I expected Jerry Lynn to say something, but he didn't.
No, because Jerry Lynn during that time was busy with Sabin, Lethal, and Dutt.
Actually, the match he had at this particular show, he fought Petey Williams. And this was on the tail end of Team Canada. I think they had just broken up.
No, they were still going on in May of 2006.
Okay.
June.
Okay. Because I had a picture. I got to tell the story. I got a picture of Jerry Lynn dissing Petey. You remember how Petey would hang somebody in the Tree of Woe?
Yeah.
And stand on him and start singing O Canada?
Yep.
Jerry Lynn hung Petey Williams, stood on him, and everybody stood up. Oh, say, can you see? I got a picture of it, brought it with me to Bound for Glory. Jerry Lynn asked to keep the picture.
If you had more than one, I would have said let him.
I think I ended up just giving it to him and saying, here, keep it. You know, God help me if Petey, you know, it went, you know, if Petey ever sees this, he says, who do you think I'm going to show it to?
Oh, man.
And Jerry Lynn got released a few months later.
That's all right. I got to see him one more time at Lockdown.
When he was going up against Chris Sabin.
Right. No complaints here.
That was a good match.
But yeah, at Hardcore War, what was it? They all said they had received invitations to come back to One Night Stand, and the Dudleys were like, Paulie, we love you. You know, you're a father to us, you're a brother to us, but it's Vince.
Actually, in a shoot interview that Team 3D did with RF Video.
Okay.
I suggest picking this one up.
Okay.
They talk about why they left WWE for TNA.
Aside from the naming rights?
Huh?
The naming rights crap?
Yeah, they talk about the name rights, but it wasn't really Vince's fault. They actually were in talks with Vince, and they all agreed. They agreed to the lesser pay because they're not going to be working that many dates and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But guess who decided to pull the rug underneath all of it?
Johnny Ace.
Yep, Laurinaitis.
Dummy.
Oh, man. He needed more bikini models, I guess.
Yeah, thankfully, that glut has stopped. Who the hell am I kidding? What is it, June?
Now
is it June this month?
Yeah,
oh.
June now.
Oh, fuck. That means we're going to have another diva search soon.
Don't say that so loud.
$5 says the winner did Playboy.
I swear to God, I'd rather see Vince give away money every week than watch Diva Bimbo Skeletons again.
Mm-hmm.
And I get in the argument with the guys on OO every year. And they say, but look at all the talent they got out of that. And I said, how many of them were the actual winners?
Two.
I only liked Maria for a while, but now they've just gotten rid of the whole ditzy character. She just seems like she could be any of the women there.
Yeah.
Well,
Maria did win.
Maria wasn't the winner. Christy Hemme was the first winner. She's gone, but she's developed into a great talent. That's WWE's fault. Ashley Massaro, probably a good talent. She's injury prone. Layla dances.
Bad.
Eve Torres is an interviewer. Huh?
Then you have Miss the Mental. Eve.
Yeah. Eve's an interviewer. She's a great gal. I've met her. You know, I'm glad she's gotten the opportunity, but she's an interviewer. Way to spend the money, Vince.
Well, thankfully, they only had to pay that $100,000.
Granted,
yeah.
But it's still, you know, I'm just saying. I mean, they still get, you know, and then they go back and hire half of them anyway. Why bother?
I'm pretty sure I'm probably not rigged, but I'm pretty sure they said to many of them, I think they hired him already from the beginning and then said, all right, we'll bring you back slowly and slowly if you don't win.
It wouldn't surprise me, but it just, why have the competition if you're going to end up hiring most of them anyway? Pick six, say, these are our new divas.
And then you train them.
And then say, you'll see, you know, go send them to have their crash course at OVW. Put them up against real divas in OVW, real women wrestlers, and get them figured out. Sorry, not OVW, FCW.
So I'm the only one that likes when they only get 2 weeks worth of training and have a train wreck at WrestleMania?
I want to thank whoever turned the lights out on that match.
You're welcome.
I don't believe you. I wish I had the audio cue set up for the Shawn Michaels part of it. No, I'm sorry, it was Hunter. Liar! Liar.
If it were me, I don't know what I would have done. I would have probably done something to let people know I did it. If I were going to take credit for anything, though, it would be putting
cheap
during Money in the Bank.
Listen to this.
What's that?
From WWE.com.
Uh-oh.
Seems like Freddie Prinze Jr. is a blogger on WWE Fan Nation.
Ooh.
What's that?
He'll be on WWE.com on Monday with Howard Finkel and Josh Matthews for a live draft blog.
Yikes.
And he claims he's quite the best Phoenix fan.
Well, at least he got her name right.
Thank you.
What,
50,000 this show?
Well, did you want to say Cold Stone Steve Austin?
Thank you very much.
I'm going to pass on that. My Monday is going to be sitting in front of the boob tube with a notebook. Because I'm going to have to move everybody around again on my website.
Okay, we got some Randy Orton injury update.
Out till after Unforgiven.
Oh man.
At least this fall.
Yes. Yes. Oh, that's too bad.
Wow.
I knew I couldn't do it with a straight face.
Why do I have a feeling somewhere he's just sensing this and yelling out, "Shut your mouth!
Shut the fuck up!" I don't be sneezing his head off.
All right,
yes,
we got
I'm talking about
this is stuff that I found. This is from the Figure Four Weekly newsletter, which is just morphed with, unfortunately, Observer.
Eek.
Michael Hayes is back in creative.
But he has to live the punk lifestyle for a while.
Yep. They locked him in a... Go ahead.
He was required to do a number of different things, including sitting down and speaking to all of the African-American wrestlers and apologize. And he is no longer allowed to drink at all on company time. According to one source, Hayes used to take huge swigs of Jack Daniels prior to going into creative meetings, equating it to Popeye and his spinach.
That explains John Cena. Oh, wait.
Mm-mm. Candice Michelle should be back by SummerSlam if she gets the okay to start training up again at her next scheduled checkup, which is coming this week.
Last I heard, Rey Mysterio will be back, should be back by SummerSlam.
Early to mid-July.
Yeah.
Undertaker will likely return at the wedding in mid-July. It'll be plugged right back into the title picture of Edge. This is good. Because if John Cena and Umaga gets drafted, we finally have a solid main event, you know, something that I always wanted, you know, like two big heels, two big faces.
Right.
Cena, Undertaker, and Umaga Edge. You can
do
so much...
Go ahead.
As much as I like CM Punk, I don't think he's ready.
I know. I just wanted to see him crash the wedding.
I said somewhere else I would have at least loved to see him just, like, teasing Edge at the ramp, wearing, like, a tuxedo t-shirt, holding the briefcase, just dancing with it. Almost like he's going to cash it in at any time.
I got a torrent SmackDown tomorrow morning, which I will while I'm listening to Capture Suplex Radio.
Here you go, man. If there's anyone in this audience that objects to this wedding, of course the building erupts in a chorus of boos.
Speak now or forever hold your peace. Dong.
Yeah, well that's even worse. Just the church bell. Would be so perfect. The lights go out, the lights come back up, and Undertaker's got one paw around Edge's throat and another paw around Vicky's.
Mm-hmm. Mike Mondo got released just days after getting a DUI.
Dummy. I heard Stu Sanders isn't...
Yeah,
Stu Sanders is in hot water.
Yeah, Stu Sanders is in hot water. He's not released yet. Because they're not working... There's a major problem, DUI problem with the dudes down in Florida because they're not working a full schedule and it's a major party scene. And that's the reason why John Laurinaitis picked Florida.
Yep.
The best thing is to have a working John in the training facility.
Yeah, I've heard that and it's crazy. I'm surprised this place has not been shut down yet. I've heard rumors here and there. That place is so ready to be shut down, but I don't know where they're going to go. They're not going to. I don't think they're going to come back to Louisville.
I would probably get on my hands, you know, either crawl my hands and knees, go to Louisville, or maybe try to work something out with Booker.
Booker would laugh and slam the door in their faces. And I would pay for the video.
I would, too. How about this piece of news? Carlito burying Triple H during a press conference in Chile last week. Saying it was very smart of him to marry Steph, and that's why he was champion so many times.
Okay, this is like the guy who goes into the lion cages covered in A1 steak sauce. You know you got to blame just him.
Carlito is pissed off again and ready to leave. this happens, and this happens.
It happens about every 7 or 8 months.
Pretty much a tradition.
You watched Raw, you know, for those that watched Raw last night in his match, he had the body language that screamed, "What the hell am I doing here, and I'm probably going to get fired."
He wants to get fired. And
yeah.
The thing is, that this isn't the first time he's done this. So I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for him. He's, you know, he's like, oh, you know, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, Triple H looks awesome just because he's banging the boss's daughter. Triple H earned his position.
Yeah, he did. Click notwithstanding. However, you gotta admit they did have a part of it.
They helped, but not, I don't believe, at the levels that the IWC wants to say.
Nope. I would also like to say that inadvertently, Vince Russo helped with the creation of DX. He worked quite a bit with Sean and Hunter. Try to get that going.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but then they took it into orbit.
Yeah.
And that's something that Vince is kind of scared to let any of the